Well, welcome here this morning. It's really lovely to see you all here. And those in the foyer who are coming in, do come and join us. It'd be lovely. We're going to start the service now. We're going to start the service together. This is, by the way, a bit of a different service this morning. It's a family service, an all-age service. We're going to be doing lots of things. And we're going to come here to worship God together. Now, if I get the band up, first of all, because we're going to go fairly quickly into music. But also, I need my readers, like the 9 readers, I need you to get. This is where we see whether we've got some order here. I know the first 3 are going to be in order. But after that, we need 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And what we're going to do is we're going to start by listening to what God's word says about himself.
Give thanks to God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 136, verse 26.
You, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 86, verse 15. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. John 3, verse 16.
Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5.
See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. 1 John 3, 1.
Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9.
The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Zephaniah 3:17.
I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 69:32.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Psalm 95, verse 2.
Brilliant. Look, we have every reason to glorify God. He's loved us in his Son. He rejoices over us with thanksgiving. The Lord longs to hear our praise. Let's stand. Oh, Lord God, we want to thank you that we can come together to worship you this morning. And Father, we thank you. You've given us so much to worship you for. Father, we thank you that you've loved us from before the beginning of time. We thank you that you set your love upon us. We thank you that you love us so much that you sent your only begotten Son. We thank you that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you that in the light of that, if we have come to know you as Savior, we can come here this morning and we can sing of the salvation that's ours in the Lord. We thank you that he watches over us. We thank you that you are the one who even delights in us and rejoices over us with singing. Oh, Father, we thank you that strength rises in our hearts as we wait upon you, that you are there each day to give us strength, that you are there to stay to give us wisdom, that you guide us through our lives. Oh, Father, we pray that this morning that you would be glorified amongst us, that you would raise up in our hearts more and more understanding of you and therefore more and more love for you. Father, we pray that your Spirit would be present amongst us this morning. Father, we can do nothing without you. And Father, so we pray that you would come and work amongst us. And Father, we pray above all that the Lord Jesus Christ will be lifted up. Father, we thank you. Your word tells us that if he is lifted up, or when he is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. Father, we thank you that you lifted him up on that cross in Calvary. But Father, we pray this morning that you would lift him up amongst us now, and that you would draw men and women to yourself. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do be seated. Do be seated. We're going to start our main part of our service with the reading. And so Jenny's going to come up and she's going to read to us. So sorry, Jenny, I'll have to give you a microphone.
The reading this morning is taken from 1 John chapter 4, which is right near the ends of your Bibles. I think you've got Bibles, guys, in the chairs behind if you need. So 1 John chapter 4, It's on page 1227, if that helps. And we're going to start at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Thank you, Jenny. Well, what we're going to do this morning, we're going to learn a verse, because bribery and corruption is always a good thing. I am just letting you know that if you can say the verse to me at the end, okay, there is a prize. So adults too, as long as I don't run out of them. So we're going to learn a verse together. And so we're going to start off with the first part of the verse. So let's go to the first part of the verse if we can. So, oops, go back a bit. That's it, wonderful. Okay, so that's the first part of the verse. That's wrong, actually, so that's no good, because that should be 1 John 4, verse 10, and that's going to be repeated in every overhead, because I copied the overhead as we went through. So let's get that right. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 is the first part of the verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Now, here's the first line, okay? Here is love. Have you got that? Okay, have you remembered it? Okay, that's an easy verse, isn't it? That's not all of it. There's lots more. Okay, that's the first part. Here is love. Now, this is an interesting bit of the verse because it is saying that this is something which is a defining statement. Okay, so here, this is love. This is what love looks like. Now, we've gone through Valentine's Day. Okay, I won't ask who got a Valentine's card. I didn't, and my wife didn't, because we kind of forgot. But never mind. You might have got a Valentine's card, so you might have in your mind about what love is. We're about to come to Mother's Day, so it's kind of there's another kind of love there as well. And so you might have in your mind about what love is. So I wonder if you can work out in your mind about what love is. Now, it's difficult, though. Some things are difficult to define. Okay, so if I said to you, go and get an orange, okay, who understands what I mean by that? If I said, go and get an orange, what does an orange look like? This is for adults as well, okay, it's a family service, not a young people's service, okay? Okay, you got that, okay. Now, imagine that you had never, ever seen an orange, okay? What would you say in order to get somebody to get you an orange? Have a think about it for a minute. Talk with the person next to you. Okay, so you might say, for example, it's a fruit. Okay, that's great if you understand what are fruits and what are not fruits. There's some very strange things there that are fruits, like tomatoes, which you don't think which are fruits, and there are other things which are not fruits, which you do think are fruits, so maybe that's a help, okay? What else might you say? What else might you say? Yes? It's juicy, edible, and orange. Okay, that's quite good. Okay, it's orange. Okay, so say I go to the shop, and I bring back this orange thing, which is quite long and relatively thin. Have I got an orange? No. What have I got? A carrot. Okay, that's correct. Okay. So actually, juicy might kind of do it, potentially. Edible certainly is still edible, isn't it? Yeah, but it's difficult. And what else might you say? Well, there's lots of things you might say. You might say it's got dimply skin. Or what you could simply do is you could do what I'm about to do, is you could go get something like this. That's easy, isn't it? Okay, yes, Satsuma, okay, I know. Yeah, thank you. It's what you've got around your house, isn't it? Okay. But you could say, get something like this. You've got an idea of what an orange looks like, something like this. Okay, so what about love then? What about love? How are you going to say what's love is? Okay. Got any ideas? Chat to the people next to you. Try and figure out how might you do it. How might you show what love is? Okay, so any ideas? What does love look like? What does love look like? Anybody got any ideas? Any answers? No hands are going up now. Any answers? Any ideas? Yes? Go on. Casper.
Something that you like someone so much, you call it
That's very good. You like somebody so much, you call it love. That's a good idea. It's a good one, yeah? Brilliant. Okay, when you like somebody and care for somebody, there's lots of things. So you could say, I don't know what you might say love is. It might be kind of when your mum or dad tucks you in bed at night. Kind of, that's love maybe. Or when you're really ill and you don't feel like anything, but somebody wraps a blanket around you and brings you some chicken soup. Is that love? Yeah, there's lots of things we could do. Maybe love is a big sloppy kiss. What do you reckon? All the kids know. There was some years ago, there was a set of cards called that started with love is. So we've got on the screen, I think. Oh no, it's the next one, isn't it? Okay. I'll tell you what, before we get there, there is something I want to show you because there was also advertisements. Yeah, we need to go back to the start of that, sorry, Charlie. Advertisements some years ago which said that they thought they knew what love is, and this was one of them. So if we have the sound up, Warwick, and there we go.
And all because the lady loves milk tray.
Right, now there's the question, okay. Apart from the dodgy outfits and the hairstyles and all the rest of it from that age, is does love mean you've got to swim with sharks? Yes, is the answer from Tim. Right. This is our pastor speaking, okay? When you're going for pastoral support, you might want to query it ever so slightly. Okay, so now we go back. Some years ago, there were some cards which said, they started with love is. And so, Charlie, I like that. Okay, so we've got some cards here. Okay, and they thought they could define what love is. I need some volunteers. Okay, come on. I need 5 volunteers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll stop there, okay? Oh, 4. Okay, one more. Okay, so there's a card. Okay, you can open your card if you want to. There's a card. Okay, so the very first one, let me get my microphone. Here we go. Okay, so love is?
Buying just what he wants for his birthday.
Buying just what he wants for his birthday. My birthday's not soon enough, unfortunately, but okay. Okay, buying just what... So do you think is that what love is? Well, I don't know, okay.
Indulging her interests.
Indulging her interests, yeah. What's the picture there of?
Shoe shop,
that's right, okay. Yes, I'll not say anything about that. I'll get into trouble if I say anything about that at all. Okay, love is?
Love is looking ahead, not back.
Looking ahead and not backwards. Oh, isn't that nice? Is that what love is? I'm not sure about that, okay.
Love is when nothing is too much trouble.
Nothing is too... Right. Yeah, kind of. Well, yeah, sort of-ish, but yeah, okay.
Love is dreaming of a winter cruise together.
Okay. Now, at this point, I could actually ask who is going on a winter cruise, because there is at least one couple in this church who is about to go on a winter cruise, and I could say, is that love? Tony, is that love? Yes, he says, brilliant. Okay, so maybe these could be, but they're a bit like kind of trying to define what an orange is without actually seeing it, aren't they? They don't really get to it. Can you give a round of applause to my helpers? You can go and sit down. Thank you ever so much. Take the cards with you for the moment. That's brilliant. Okay, so... What is love? Well, actually, in the verses we read, if we want to find what love is, by the way, what we need to do is, a bit like my orange, we need to go back and see what the original is. We need to see it. And the verses we read, back at verse 8, so we're in verse 10 of chapter 4 of 1 John, back in verse 8 it says, God is love. Okay, so in other words, God is saying, I am love. I know what love is. I'm going to show you what love is. So we're on a good wicked, aren't we? We're there. We're going to get the defining answer from the person who really, 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 really absolutely knows what love is. And so, are you ready to hear about what love is? Okay, so we kept you waiting. Okay, here is love. So, let's just remind ourselves, okay, the first one is wrong, 1 John 4, verse 10. Okay, the next bit is right, here is love. Okay, so, you ready for the next bit? Okay. Not that we love God. Get that into your mind. Remember, if you're You can remember it. You can come to and tell me afterwards, and we've got a prize for you. So not that we love God. Now, actually, that's not helpful, is it? Because what it's gone is basically is gone. You know, if I was to say, what is an apple, not what is an orange, effectively what God has just done is gone, this is not an apple, which is not very helpful, is it? Okay? Why is that passage tell us that? Well, actually, this is a ruler. Okay, maybe it's a strange ruler. Have you seen one of these before? Okay, some of you will have seen them. Now, if I stretch this out to about there, okay, it says there 1 meter. Okay, so that's 1 meter. I'm taller than 1 meter, I'm glad to say. That's 1 meter. Now, there is a standard of what 1 meter is, and you can go and check it up, and this should match the standard. The problem with this ruler, this is one of mine, you can see that I've spent a lot of money on because it's B&Q value ruler. And it is a B&Q value ruler. The problem is, you see, at the very end of this, there's a little tag that you can do, and you can latch on to something, and you can kind of stretch the ruler so you can find out how long that is. The problem is, if I rattle this a bit, you probably can't hear, but the tag on the end is loose. In fact, it is very loose, so much so that this could either be 1 meter or it could be 1 meter and 5 millimeters, which might not sound a great deal, but when you're trying to cut something accurately is a real problem, okay? So it's important to know that this is not an accurate measure, so I don't use it very much at all. I really should chuck it out, but I don't really use it very much at all. So we need to know what is accurate or what's an accurate measure. Okay, so what is love not then? Well, of course, there's lots of things that love might not be, particularly love for God. My love for God is not real love. That's what it's telling me. It's not that we love God. Not that we love God. My love for God is not real. Now, I might think that I love God, and I might think I do really well with loving God, but sometimes you can love other things more than God, can't we? You know, I love my PS4 more than God, or I love my hobby more than God, or I love my friends. Maybe your friends matter more than God, or maybe your reputation matters more than God. There's lots of other things we can love more than God. In fact, if I'm honest, there's almost everything I seem to love more than I love God. Well, maybe we should try harder. Well, I've got a little picture on here of a man who lived a long time ago. Now, I don't know if you can see him. He looks a bit strange, doesn't he? This picture is of Kevin the monk. It's of Kevin from Glendalough, who else is Northern Irish? Because Irish, you probably pronounce that better, Glendalough, but possibly, I don't know. Now, when did this monk live? This monk he was born 498, okay? So not that he was 498 years old, he was born in the year 498. He lived in Ireland, and he decided that he was going to love God. And he was so distracted by all sorts of things that he decided that he was going to get away from everybody. So he wandered away to this valley where nobody lived. And in this valley, there was an island in the middle of it. And then you had to cross the lake to get to this island. And on this island, there was a cave. Now, you can probably not see it, but just that bit of gray stone near to the lake, there is a hole there. And that's the cave he lived in. And the cave was only just a bit bigger than he was, and just enough room to lie down. They know that it was carved out, so whether he carved it out or somebody else carved it out, we don't know. But he decided he was going to live on his own. So what did he do to try and love God? Well, he decided that every single morning, whatever the weather would be, he would go and he would stand in that lake, and he would stand in that lake and pray to God, and so that God would see how much he loved God. Well, he tried ever so hard. He tried ever so hard. But actually, in the Bible, it tells us about a man who also tried hard. He was called the rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus and said, I have done everything I possibly can to love you the whole of my life. So Jesus said to him, okay, so what about the commandments? So do you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit? Yeah, of course I do. I love God. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Oh, no, I've never done that. Have you ever killed anybody? Oh, I've never done that. Tick them all off. Never done them all. So he said to this man, okay, I'll tell you what to do. Go and sell everything you've got and give it to the poor and then follow me. And it says the man went away sad, you see, because there was something else in his life he loved more. He loved all the stuff he had more. And we probably love a lot of the stuff we have as well. In the week to come, we're going to love the heating in our house. You're going to love your warm coats. When you go home, you're going to love your dinner. There's so many things that we love. And we can love some of these things far more than God. And it doesn't matter how hard we try. It doesn't matter whether we're Kevin of Glendalough or whether we're not. It doesn't matter how hard we try. It's not that we love God. That's not what the measure of love is. That's not what God wants us to see. Now, why does it all go wrong for us? Well, I got a little video to show you, which tells you a bit about what we're like as humans, as people, okay? So have a watch of this video.
People have been curious about this for a while. So if you go back, and here's a beautiful example, to the 1920s, a young scientist by the name of Asa Schaefer asked a friend, could you put on a blindfold? I'm going to take you to the edge of a field. And he said, what I'd like you to do is walk across this field in a straight line. Just stay as straight on course as you possibly can. So the man headed off, and here is Asa's map of what happened next. The man starts to walk, and his route, as you see here, begins to tilt ever so slightly to the right. We're going to speed this up just a bit. Notice that the blindfolded man now starts to turn dramatically, taking him back to the road where he started from, and then across the road, and then around again, and then back again, and around again. And increasingly, he's moving in smaller curls until finally he hits a tree and stops. All the while, he thought he was walking in a perfectly straight line. Strange? Well, there are many studies just like this. From 1928, here are three people who leave a barn on a very foggy day, and what they want to do is go to a point about a half mile away. Here's what happened, the map version. The barn is here. The destination is here. Now watch this. Off they go. They think they're walking straight, but instead what they actually do is they start to turn and turn and turn and end up, weirdly, back at the very place where they started, the barn. This experiment has been done in all kinds of situations. Here's another 1928 study. A man is blindfolded and then asked to jump into a lake and swim in a straight line to the other side. Now, here is where he swam. There is apparently a profound inability in humans to stick to a straight line when blindfolded, or when there is no fixed point, no sun, no moon, no mountaintop to guide them. In this last case, a blindfolded man is asked to get into a car and is told to drive in a straight line across a totally empty Kansas field. Now, the driver is not in any danger. All he has to do is hold course, but here is the map that shows what happened next. For 80 years, scientists have been trying to explain this tendency to turn when you think you're going straight. They thought maybe this is some form of handedness, like being a righty or a lefty, or maybe it's a right-left brain thing where one side of you is slightly dominant and then the dominance builds over time. Maybe it's just simple asymmetry. Some people are stronger on one side or have different sized arms or legs, but try as they might, and we're still trying these experiments, nobody has really figured out why we can't go straight.
Look, folks, we're saying that the problem is that there's something in our lives that just doesn't let us go into a straight line. Now, God is not difficult to love. Can I just read you? I wrote down some attributes about what God is like. I want you to listen to this, okay? This is just me trying to think for about 5 minutes about what God is like. And you've seen some very disturbing things. I want to show you something far better. This is who our God is. Our God is good. Our God is lovely. Our God is not just lovely, he's altogether lovely. Our God is beautiful. He's majestic. He is wonderful. He is light. He is truth. He is holy. He is righteous. He is merciful. He is patient. He is kind. He is the fairest of 10,000. He's pure. He's glorious. He's excellent. He's king. He's shepherd. He's a brother to me. Even when things come in that could scare us, he is more powerful than anything that can come in. He is the one who is wise and sovereign and just. He's never changing. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my firm foundation. He's the one who's my shelter. He's the hiding place. He's the one who's my ever-present help in trouble. He's the one who will never leave me. He's the one who will never forsake me. He's the one who is gracious. He's the one who is strong. He's the one who is eternal. He is the one who is mighty to save. He is the Savior. He is the Lord of all. He is my very great reward. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? And yet, we can't, we don't go after him. We ought to love him from the depths of our heart, but we can't follow him as we should do. But our verse goes on to say, so let's go back to our verse, okay? Our verse goes on to say, here is love. Not that we love God, so that's not what it's about. It's not about my heart. I can't love God as I ought to, but that he loves us. He loves us. He loves you this morning. And I want you to know, he loves you more than anything else. Now, am I easy to love? Well, am I easy to love? Right, this is where we have fun, okay? Here we go. Am I easy to love? Well, we could ask, couldn't we? Am I easy to love? So I could get Anne up here and say, am I easy to love? Can you guess what the answer might be? No. Okay, so am I easy to love? Well, why? Well, of course, you could look at me and you could think, well, oh yeah, he is so lovely and easy to love. Isn't he nice? Gray hair, a bit grandpa-like, slightly tubby, a bit cuddly, you know, so easy to love. But you don't actually know me. You don't know what I'm like. But you see, the thing is that God knows me. He knows what I'm like. He knows that actually inside my life, I do all sorts of things wrong. Who likes Marmite? Okay, who hates Marmite? Yeah, I'm among the Marmite haters. This is a bad thing for far as I'm concerned, okay? But you see, he knows the times when my thoughts are wrong. You know, when somebody like that comes in, very easily my thoughts could be wrong about him. Okay, very easily. And so what happens is, can I have wrong thoughts? And that's not so nice, is it now? Okay, you can't see that. Well, I can see it. Whoops, in the bottom there. Okay, we've got some Marmite in there, so we put some more in. Okay, we've got lots of bad thoughts. So there's lots of things that can go wrong in my life. Maybe the thoughts which are wrong. Sometimes, of course, some of the things I do which are wrong are things which are not quite as nasty as Marmite. Apologies to the Marmite lovers there. You know, so I might actually do things. So I might decide, as I used to do when I was young, I love chocolate. I absolutely love chocolate. So my mum would say to me, no more chocolate from the cupboard. But chocolate seems good. So I would go and I would get some chocolate from the cupboard and I would have some chocolate to eat. That's all very nice. Okay, there we are. Okay, now, this is jam. Jam's nice. This is my life. Not so nice. Or maybe I would get into a big temper with my brothers and sisters. And you know, as I go through life, actually, there's lots of things which kind of are horribly wrong with my life. And so I keep on doing them all the time. And constantly, there are things I do wrong. And so my life kind of just is getting messier and messier and messier. Now, what's in there? This Marmite. Who likes Marmite? Okay, keep your hand up if you like jam. Okay, keep your hand up if you like paint. Okay, it's messy. And you see, the thing is, I've hardly even gone there. There is so much more in my life. This is from my Hoover. I sucked it up yesterday. I'm going to make a right mess here, aren't I? There's so much more that's horrible in my life. Do you love that glass, or rather the contents of that glass? And you see, God sees the depths of our life. He sucks it up in his sense, since he can see right into our lives. He can see everything that is there. Am I lovely? Well, of course I'm not lovely. Is God lovely? Yes, he is. He's good. He's perfect. He's pure. Easy to love, but we can't love him. But you see, am I lovely? No, I'm not. And yet the amazing thing is that God loves us. You know, the Bible in Psalm 139 says that God has searched us, that he knows us. In fact, he knew us from the very beginning of time. He knows our every thought. Even our very hairs in our heads are numbered. And someone like Roger, that's very easy because it's zero. But others of us, it's much more difficult. God knows all the hairs on our head. God knows all about us, even that horrible, horrible stuff there. He knows every single bit about us. And that's the mess I'm in. Now, what can I do about that mess? Well, I can't actually do anything. There's nothing I can do. But you see, it's not that we love God. It's that God loved us. I'm just going to ask Pete to come up here for a minute. Okay. Because, you see, Pete, I know, was probably like a lot of people here. So, Pete, you grab that. Okay. So, your home. Where were you born? Where were you brought up?
I was born in Birmingham.
Birmingham. Okay. You don't have an accent like that. That's good. You've got rid of it over the
Thank
years.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
only since being here.
Okay. Posh Kellen accent. Okay. And the kind of home you were brought up in, were your parents Christians? Were you taken?
Yeah. So, both my parents were Christians before I met them in the maternity ward. My dad's from Scotland and was brought up in a sort of strict, I guess, Church of Scotland environment. Mum was from Salvation Army, and then they met in London. So yeah.
Okay.
Christian household.
So you were taken to church all the way through?
Yes. So I've got an older brother, older sister. Older sister's 6 years older. Older brother's 5 years older. And as long as I can remember, they were all Christians before I was first introduced to them. So yeah, Christian household, church twice a Sunday, sometimes three times a Sunday. Very traditional setup.
Right, okay. So you were therefore a really good lad.
I was perfect, no.
Yeah, perfect.
I had a happy upbringing and a very secure upbringing. But at a very early age, probably too early to ponder deep and meaningful things, I had conversations with God. And they were mixed conversations, actually. Sometimes the conversations were, help me with my day, I want to know you. Other times there were conversations of, go away, I can't stand you. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So you knew about God, but and you wanted God to help you, but you didn't really want God to help you.
Yeah. And so that was at an early, early age. Mm. Still went to church, part of the youth group. Lots of church weekends away, lots of encouraging atmosphere and people around me. And sort of at the age of 15, I remember saying to Dad whilst he was watching TV, Dad, I want to become a Christian. I want to know more about this. I want to have a proper relationship with God and commit my life. That was the fastest I've ever seen my dad move. He turned the TV off straight away. And we had a chat. And then about a year later, I committed my life personally to God.
So what do you mean? You committed your life to God?
Yes,
what do you mean?
There's
by
lots
that?
Of Christian language in there. I'm not a fan of Christian language. So here's the thing. Even though I'm brought up in a Christian family, relatively comfortable, I'm still not right with God.
Okay, so you're a bit like...
Very like that. And I hadn't done anything outrageous. I hadn't, you know, at that age, I hadn't been wayward particularly. But definitely there was a barrier between me having a personal relationship with God. Mm. Traditionally we'd have called that sin. And there were things in my life that fell way short of his standards. Mm. And if we're short of his standards, we can't commune with God as we were intended
to. So you're a bit like the guy in the video.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see it all.
Yeah.
We kind of, you know, we're trying to go straight line, can't get to God, we can actually end up going round, and actually getting all this stuff in our lives, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. I couldn't find my own way of my own accord.
Yeah.
And I'd ask questions, I'd spoken to people, I'd spoken to God, you know, in angry terms, and spoken to God in nice terms, but I was very much trying my own path, really.
Okay. So what did you do then when you were 16? I know there's a bigger story to it, but this is just the bit I want to get. So what did you do at that point? Did you suddenly decide to turn your life around and make everything right?
Did I try to do it of my own abilities?
Yeah.
No. I tried that lots and lots and lots. And there's nothing I can do of myself to get rid of the bits that aren't right. Mm. And again, we talk about a lot about Christian language, and it is by God's grace, by his love of us, that he picks us up where we're at, and he brings us into a relationship. Even that process of coming to him is actually of him.
Right.
You know, it's his work, even at that stage. So I chatted to one of the leaders in the youth group on a weekend away, and I prayed a very simple prayer of just, I want to know you, I want you to forgive me for the things I don't do right. And I want to have a relationship with you.
I'm going to leave it there because
that's
what we want from this. Because actually, what I want you to see is it's not just what I'm talking about me. It's actually about Pete and probably about other people. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been brought up in a Christian home. Maybe you've gone along to church a lot of times. Maybe you think you're trying really hard to follow God. But it's not that we love God. That's not what it's about, because we keep on turning away from it. It's that he loves us. Our lives are still messy like this. What are we going to do about it? So let's have a look at the last little bit about it, because let's go back again through our verses, okay? So first of all, we start off with, so this is the last bit, Charlie. So first of all, we've got 1 John chapter 4, not 1, verse 10, okay? So first bit is? Here is love. Brilliant. Second bit is? That we love God. Brilliant. Third bit is that he loved us. Right, that's brilliant. Okay, do you want to see the fourth bit? Fourth bit here we go, fourth bit. And sent his son. He sent his son. Now, this is quite amazing because, you see, we've just talked about who God is. God is perfect. God is pure. God is righteous. And yet, he comes into a world. So this world where we so lie to each other all the time, and God comes in and he's pure. And he's all wise, and we do so many stupid things all the time. And he's holy. He's absolutely perfect in all his ways. And he comes into the world where we call each other names, where we try and put each other down, we try and undermine. And he came into our messy world. He came into a world a bit like this. But the amazing thing that the Bible says is that he sent his son into this messy world, but that he did nothing wrong. So this is Jesus. Sent his son into this messy world, but he did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. But he so loved us, sent his son into this world. Here's the last bit, okay? As an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, that's really difficult, so let's just take it for a minute, okay? So what does it mean, an atoning sacrifice for our sins? All those wrong things we've done. Well, first of all, what does atonement mean, this atoning thing? It means making amends for what other people have done wrong. Let me just explain it a minute. I'm going to get Ingvar, who's a visitor here, and I'm going to embarrass him. Come up here, because I know that he'll help me. So Ingvar, all his years. Okay, so Ingvar, can you hold that for me? Okay, so there is my sin, okay? It is nasty. Thank you, Ingvar. You're a good friend. That's disgusting. Okay, you know all about me, so that's disgusting. It is disgusting. What does Jesus do? He comes, he lives a perfect life, a life that we can't live. And God sent him to the cross to die for me. What happened on the cross is Jesus, okay, actually, we'll do it the other way around, shall we? Okay, you can be, because this is me, isn't it? This is me, okay, so this is my sin, okay? You can be you're Jesus, okay, of sorts. Okay, so what did Jesus do? While we're on the cross, God put my sin on Jesus. And what happens when I come to know Jesus as my Savior is God gives me all Jesus's purity. That's what he does. Now, have a look at this. Is there any sin here? No. Is there any sin there? Ooh, that's a problem. Because you see, sin has got to be paid for. And so what happened is on the cross, God punished Jesus for all the wrong things that I'd done. Okay, so here's my sin. Who gets the punishment? Jesus. Who doesn't get the punishment? Okay, and not only that, but I get all his goodness. As he looks on me, I have all the goodness of Jesus. He sets me free from all the wrong things I've done. And you know the wonderful thing? Off you go. No, you can take that with you. Because you see, the Bible tells me that God takes my sin as far away from me as the east is from the west. And he remembers it no more. Isn't that brilliant? And so, where's my sin? Nowhere to be seen. It's all gone. All those wrong things, all those things that I regret, all those things on my conscience, not a single one here. Because Jesus has taken them all. Okay, so let's go back to that verse again, Charlie, if you take me all the way back again, okay? So here is love, okay? What's it not? It's not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for my sin. And you know, this morning, you could be here and you could have heard lots and lots of things and you could have come along. You could be like Pete and you could be from a family where you went to church all those years. But actually, you're still holding on to that sin in your life and heart. And when you look at it, you can still see all that wrong that's there. And it's not that those of us who are Christians don't do wrong as well, but the thing is that he's already dealt with that. He's already taken it away. But you're still holding on to it. And what God says is he wants you to know Jesus. He wants you to know that you can be set free from all your sins. He wants you to have a new life. And this, God says, is love. This is love. That in spite of all that wrong, God came and sent Jesus into this world to take my sin so that I can be set free from it all. Maybe you've come this morning and you've heard this many, many times before, but you've never come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Can I just say, you can come to know Jesus as Savior this morning too. You can come to know, just like Pete did this morning as well. All you've got to do, it's just three simple things. The first one is repent. It means turn. Turn from trying to do it for yourself, trying to love God for yourself, because we can't love God. So turn from that. Turn to what God has done for you. So that's repent, okay? I'm going to stop trying to get there myself. I'm going to trust you and everything you've done. Second thing is believe. So repent, turn, believe. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for taking all my sin upon you. And then thirdly, to trust in him. I'm going to live my life for you. I'm going to follow you the rest of my life. What does it look like? Well, what we're going to do is we're just going to bow our heads just for a moment. And we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask you, if you want to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to pray this prayer with me. Not out loud, but in your heart, because it's between you and God, not between you and anybody else. And just to pray with me, because this morning you can come to know Jesus as your Savior. Doesn't matter how old or young you are, you still need Jesus. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. And I want to turn from trying to get to you myself and trying to be the best that I can be myself. And I want to turn to trust in Jesus. I thank you that Jesus came and died for me, that all my sins were placed on him, and he was punished in my place. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So forgive me for all those sins, and help me to live for you the rest of my life. I thank you that your word tells me that when I repent and believe and trust, that I am a child of God, that I'm forgiven from all the wrong I've done, and I can know your peace and your joy and eternal life. Amen. Look, if you've prayed that this morning for the first time, please come and tell me, or tell a friend, because we'd love to help you and to speak to you. And maybe you've prayed that years ago and forgotten about all that God has done for you. My experience has always been that when God is wanting to work, the devil tries to stop that work. And I know that there are folk here this morning who have heard and are so close to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know because I've spoken to some of you, but you've just not made that step. I'm not going to pray again. You know what to do. But let's just bow our heads. I'm going to pray thanking God for his love towards us. And as we do so, if you've still not made that step, then do it now. Lord God, I just want to thank you that your love for us is so amazing, that you know everything about me. And yet from the beginning of time, you set your love upon me. You even know the failures that I'm going to do from this day onwards, and yet you still love me. How can that be? And Lord God, I thank you that having trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am yours forever. The sin is gone as far as the east is from the west. I'm made right in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we long to love you. We long to serve you as we ought. And Father, we know that our love is imperfect, but I thank you that powered by your Spirit, we can live a life for you that brings you glory. So Father, for each one of us, I pray that you would fire up in our hearts again that great love for you, for all that you have done for us. That you would send us out of this place to shine for you, to speak of you, to proclaim you wherever you take us to. And Father, we do want to pray that this morning that salvation will come to some within the service, Father.